Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Good to be here. Thanks very much.
Energy Pathways is advancing its MESH project, aiming to bolster the UK's energy transition by integrating hydrogen and compressed air storage technologies. The project is on track with a 25-year lifespan, a 20 terawatt-hour energy storage capacity, and plans for 400 megawatts of long-duration energy storage and 700 megawatts of low-carbon flexible power. This initiative aligns with the UK's Clean Power by 2030 goals, supports employment, and showcases Energy Pathways' proprietary hybrid compressed air storage solution. Tell us more about these exciting developments, please, Ben.
Yeah, no, thanks. We're very pleased with the RNS. It provides further information on how Energy Pathways is growing the MESH project, which we're very excited about, and how we can accelerate the UK's energy transition and support energy security.
That's great. What's your thoughts then, Ben? And we'll go into more detail about exactly how it affects it. But Rachel Reeves' statement yesterday, how's that going to impact you guys? I'm sure you're still looking into it. But I was looking at some comments that were put up on some of the boards. And it seems like it's going to be a positive for you guys for sure. Basically, they're reducing the ability for hydrogen, I think, to get payment. Is that correct, or am I misunderstanding
it? Yeah, no, you're right. It's generally positive and consistent with where we think government energy policy is heading, and a greater recognition of the security end of the spectrum of energy transition. With respect to the hydrogen development, what that is doing is amending the climate change levy, whereby it does not apply to electrolytic hydrogen or green hydrogen. And obviously for the MESH project, that's very much a part of the project scope, is the storage at scale of hydrogen by connecting the wind farms of the region to the MESH facility, and providing a storage facility for the excess wind that the UK is generating. That hydrogen, stored hydrogen in the MESH project, can then readily be connected to the developing hydrogen markets of the UK, and the Northwest being one of the priority nodes of the UK's hydrogen economy.
Yeah, it seems crazy that they had a levy, electricity used for electrolytic hydrogen production. That seems bizarre that it was there in the first place, or is that me just not understanding the situation?
Well, yes, you're right. It did seem a bit strange that it was even within scope. So let's say it seems a very sensible and rational move to make. Furthermore, the MESH project, it's probably worth noting, the MESH project, as we've described in our RNS, it's also providing hybrid compressed air storage solutions, and that too falls outside the climate change levy mechanism.
Good. Well, I've got a load of questions from different people, so I'm going to put them to you, and then we will just have a discussion from what comes up from that, if that's okay with you. And the first one is on the compressor. How will the compressor LDES complement both the existing plans for MESH and the government's wider energy transition ambitions? We've just discussed that a little bit, I think. And what kind of revenue generation is expected from it? Maybe that last part is going to be the hardest part to answer, but have a go anyway.
Yeah, so compressed air is just it's a form of long-duration energy storage, in as much that hydrogen storage is achieving that outcome too. As I've previously explained on this forum, a key challenge of the UK's energy transition is harnessing the value of the huge investment that's going into renewable generation, but in particular wind generation, which has its own sort of intermittency profile. And a significant amount of that investment in renewable wind generating capacity is being wasted, i.e. when the wind's blowing, some of that power generation is not able to access the market. That is why storage is critical. But most importantly, Long duration storage is critical. There is a limit to what grid scale batteries can achieve in harnessing that sort of those billions of investment in wind generating capacity, in that grid scale batteries can only effectively store for minutes and an hour or two at best. So the sort of the holy grail in a way for the UK energy transition is long duration energy storage solutions. And the UK sees hydrogen as being a key part of that, a key driver or technology for that solution. Compressed air is simply an alternative technology achieving the same outcome. From our view, we think compressed storage is a very complementary solution to go with hydrogen. And the two can work well together, and that's why we've brought it into our integrated energy solution with Mesh. And it's something that can be brought into play in relatively short time frames to support the UK economy and harness some of those that significant sort of billions of investment being generated that can be harnessed through from the wind farms.
Okay, so EPP have the intellectual property rights for the compressed air storage tech. Is there any potential to exploit this moving forwards? And is there other things that you can maybe, give the opportunity for others to use this as well and cause a revenue stream? Or is it something that you're going to keep in-house?
Well, for obvious reasons, I'm not going to say too much about our approach to hybrid compressed storage. However, we think it's a transferable approach and technology. And yes, we will be looking to exploit that IP. It's not limited to this particular development.
Great. How was the Mesh project presentation received at the OE UK Share Fair last week then? I presume that's something you attended yourself.
Yeah, so we gave a presentation. There was a lot of interest in the project at the event. In parallel, well, at the event, besides giving a presentation, there's an opportunity for supply chain and stakeholders in the energy industry to come and talk to us. And we had a fully booked schedule through the day of interviews and requests to talk to us. So we're very pleased with the interest being shown in the project.
Good. And from this time, let's say a year ago, do you see that people have actually clicked what you're trying to do now?
I think increasingly, yes. I think there's greater recognition of the potential of Mesh and how it fits into the energy transition. And I think there's a lot of excitement about what we're doing, and the innovation that we're bringing to the energy transition is being appreciated and recognized.
Yeah, what would happen to the UK situation if we didn't have storage in say 3 to 5 years? What would happen?
Well, what would happen is essentially is what's going on right now is that the consumer pays for the inability to store the intermittency of renewable wind power. And that comes to the consumer through curtailment costs and grid stability costs being passed on to the consumer through the electricity bills. And obviously the higher cost of energy to the UK households and businesses, high energy costs has knock-on consequences, further down the UK economy, which I'm sure everyone's fully appreciating and fully aware of. So being able to harness that through stored energy and utilizing that stored energy will have the benefit of reducing bills, but also not, let's say, fully relying on fossil fuel type solutions for when the wind's not blowing. And so there's a sort of a double benefit from having a storage solution for that excess wind power.
Okay, so are the government going to put their hands in the pockets and sort of help this happen, do you believe, or not? I mean, whether that be through grants, whether it's through just cost-effective finance, I mean, where do you see that going? I mean, I know you're closely involved with the government in terms of what's happening, so give us your ideas on what you think could happen.
For the Mesh project, the initial phase of development is something that is attracting private capital backing interest. And so from the UK government's point of view, this is an energy transition project that is not dependent on government subsidy or regulatory support, financial support, I would suggest that in the current financial circumstances of the country, that should be quite an appealing feature of the mesh project. Notwithstanding, I think, as you know, we've got GB Energy set up and looking for direct government investment in energy transition projects. So I think the mesh project would be an appealing proposition to mobilizing direct government investment to complement private capital.
Very good. And from all the information, how and when do we think licensing is going to happen for the project, for Marram specifically? And then the other two projects, where are we at with those other two projects since the last time we spoke?
On the licensing front, we have a gas storage license application that was submitted last year, August last year, and that's being considered by the relevant regulator, which is the NSTA, and we're awaiting a decision on that application. We had been given an indication that it was early 2025, and so we're hopeful that we're going to hear something fairly soon now.
Okay. The other projects or the other licenses, where are we at with that? Because, I mean, Marram is certainly going to kick things off, but the other two projects are really going to set you alight in terms of the amount of gas available and also the storage availability, I presume.
So we have made a round license application requests for two similar gas fields, which are called Knox and Lowry. Those requests were submitted. In my view, those will be considered as part of a consultation process that has been initiated by DESNZ a couple of weeks ago around what licenses in the future would be appropriate for consideration as part of the energy transition. We believe that hub-based type developments, integrated energy system type solutions will be considered favorably as a result of that consultation process. And we think we're very well positioned as a result of that.
So what do you see the next steps being over the next, say, 3 to 6 months that we will see from Energy Pathways and the way forward?
Next steps, a key milestone is the gas storage license application and a decision on that. And also what we'll be doing is also progressing with the broader project out with natural gas. So that means compressed air and hydrogen. So those processes are proceeding as well. And we'll be moving the integrated project through into detailed engineering and planning through to FEED in order to achieve our targeted FID towards the end of the year. So that's a lot of things to happen, a lot of news flow. And really, by this RNS, what we're doing is we're sort of expanding the project with the compressed air component and showing how it all ties in with hydrogen. And so we'll be moving that part of the project forward in parallel with the initial gas storage development.
So, from your answer, is my assumption correct that this license is a case of when, not if? I mean, even if they come back to you with some stipulations, you're going to be able to change that and get this license. It would be insane for the British government not to give you this license, I'm assuming.
Your words, not mine, Kevin, but
That's okay. We'll use my words instead, but you agree with my words, I think.
let's say our view is the merits of this point of national interest and accelerating the UK's energy transition, we think it's a very compelling project.
Yeah, I mean, we need it, don't we? The UK needs this desperately. You know, I've said it before, I think podcasted it. We need a way forward so that we're not totally dependent, one, on gas coming in at potentially very expensive rates from all over the world, which is not ecologically very, very sensible either. And secondly, we're so headstrong towards the wind that we need a way of storing some of that power so that we can use it at other times. It's an absolute no-brainer. But if you look at your project and only look at the gas, the storage side of things, then It's got to be a very sensible project for the United Kingdom and a very profitable one for its shareholders. So that's my summation anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's an excellent summary, and we think there's significant value in the UK energy transition arena for large scale energy storage solutions such as mesh. And this is our strategy, and that's what we're focused in on, and playing a meaningful contribution in this space. So we're let's say happy to sort of take the lead, but it's in our view a multi-billion pound growing sector.
Yeah, but I think the reality of the situation is that if this was only a gas project, it's still worth significantly more now that you've got the potential for three different ones than its current market capitalization. Never mind 25 years of storage, never mind the fact that you've got this compressed gas thing for the hydrogen. I think people need to understand that even on the merits of what you had originally, which was just the gas, it works. And I think that's what people need to understand.
No, absolutely.
Okay, Ben Floop, thanks again for your time. We look forward to speaking to you and taking you through this journey over the next, well, certainly the rest of this year and then into the future as we hopefully secure some energy for the United Kingdom, so that the people of the United Kingdom don't have to pay through the nose, which is what they're doing at the minute, for all of these resources.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.